Synthaholics, it's the Star Trek podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. Thank you so much for downloading this episode. Today, you got myself, Aaron O'Brien. We've got David Duncan. Say hello.
Hey, Dad. What you doing?
Hello, David. And we have Holly Michelle. Hello, Holly. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks.
We are all together, and we are talking something different this week. We are talking Deep Space Nine. It has been a long time since we talked about Deep Space Nine. The last Deep Space Nine episode we talked about was The Wire. Remember that?
Oh, that was a great episode.
Brain pain.
So far back. So.
And we're talking today about Move Along Home.
No, we're not.
Everyone's favorite episode.
No, we're talking about The Sound of Her Voice. This is season 6, episode 25. And it aired June 10th. 1998.
She sounds pretty good for looking like a skeleton.
Thanks for giving out full spoilers. This episode, it's odd to me because it is lauded as one of the better episodes of Deep Space Nine, but I'm like, I vaguely remembered it when we talked about it, but then I rewatched it and I'm like, it's good. It's not great.
Right.
I don't know, like, it's entertaining, I suppose, in a strange sort of way. Dave, you're a big Deep Space Nine lover. What's your feeling about this episode?
I don't know. I got choked up a little bit, especially, like, at the end when O'Brien's giving his speech, and it's just like, you know, Dax is getting ready to die.
Dax is going to die soon.
I think she dies in the next episode.
Is it next episode?
Because this is, like, season 6.
Season 6, yeah.
And she doesn't come back in season 7. And it's just like, oh crap, like she literally is going to die.
Oh, yeah, that's dying. A good point. I didn't think about that, actually.
Yeah, now so like, you know, I got choked up a little bit. And then also at the beginning when they're like trying to figure out if she can hear them or not. And like, they're saying how morbid it is. And also knowing that she's going to die also is a little bit sad. And they're trying so hard to help her. I don't know, this episode got me in the feels more than all of Picard and all of Discovery is done. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, the next episode is Tears of the Prophet, which is her death, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So, like, it just that speech O'Brien was making at the end, I was like, oh, that's, like, so depressing. He's like, in a few years, we're just standing here, and someone's going to be missing, and we're going to be like, oh, fuck. I'm like, oh, no, you're killing dogs. Next episode, guys. This is so mean. You're playing with my feelings that way. I mean, Ezri Dax is okay, but I love Jadzia.
Well, yeah, it's 6 seasons to get to know her, for sure. Well, let's get into the episode. So, it starts off Deep Space Nine. We got Odo is giving Quark a hard time about his bar stools.
He's violating some OSHA codes.
So stupid. I'm like, what is OSHA? It was so dumb. It's like, you know, they don't have backs, and they'll get vertigo.
For 6 seasons, they haven't had backs. Yeah. Now it's an issue.
And then he was making some cracks about the Dabo wheel, and that's when Kira walks in with Odo. It's like, hey, I want to go eat at the Klingon restaurant, and Odo just completely forgets about what he's doing, and then gets whisked off by Kira. And Quark notices, like, wow, that's weird. He's completely distracted.
Oh, this, yeah, Quark, you favorite. Don't you know that I'm loving shit?
What was that, Holly?
I just said I could benefit from this.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know. That kind of sets up the whole thing right there, as he's going to make an opportunity for himself by distracting Odo. Then we jump to the Defiant, and they're going to do some. There's some convoy to a different system, and Cassidy Yates is on the is on the Defiant with everybody, with Sisko, and there's this really just dry exchange between Cassidy and Sisko, and even Dr. Bashir.
He is grumpy having her on board.
Well, I mean, at this, yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, it was really just like, what do you want? I mean, it's like probably even worse than an old couple.
There was like no real context or build up or anything. It was just an awkward. I mean, it was poorly written.
Yeah, and it was just kind of weird because it's like, all right, so now like Sisko's got an issue with Cassie Yates. And they always act like they're so in love with each other and all of a sudden now they're like, and even Dr. Bashir is like, wrote all of my reports. Here you go. Bye.
Well, I don't remember if the episode before was directly tied into this one, because Deep Space Nine, by this time, episodes rolled into each other like a modern serialized show. A lot of times, not always, but sometimes they did roll into each other without it to be continued.
The one before this is Time's Orphan, where the planet sends Molly O'Brien through a time portal.
I guess it did come out of the blue then. Yeah. The episode before is the Suffering of O'Brien episode.
Yeah.
Caveman daughter.
Caveman daughter. Yeah, it just seemed weird. And I get like maybe they're just worn down because their mission took a long time or whatever. But it came like just feels uncharacteristic of everybody. And then we get a call from Worf saying that there's a distress call from another sector, and they find out this is Commander Gatsby, and they are
the Great Gatsby.
The Great Gatsby. No, it's not Commander Gatsby. I'm sorry. This is it says, and Commander Gatsby's dead too. So that's not who it is. Who's the name of the captain here? I'm looking for it. Can't find it.
Kate or something.
Yeah. Right? I'm just looking for a last name. Doesn't say it here. That's great. Anyways.
It says in the description title on Netflix. I know that. Or not Netflix, but.
Let's see if I. Do.
CBS All Access.
Deborah Wilson. No. No. Captain Lisa Cusack.
Yeah.
Cusack,
probably.
Cusack, I was saying, yeah. Cusack.
Whatever you want,
man. Anyway, so they have a distress call and they're on an L-class planet with an atmosphere that's barely breathable, and she's taking some pills to help her stay alive out there because her escape pod was damaged, so the hull was damaged when she came down onto the planet. So they're basically now have to go save her since there's no other ships in the quadrant to go help her. Unfortunately, and this is going to take them quite a while just to get there. So, they're not entirely 6 days,
I think it said.
Yeah, and they are worried about getting to her on time because she's taking these
pills. Was it 6 days? I thought it was like 3 days, and then in the middle of flight, they kind of had to make it turn into 2 days.
Right.
Well,
they had to speed it up. They had to take power from their phaser banks.
Yeah, but I guess that could have been when they were 2 days away. I don't know.
Yeah, they were running out of time because she wasn't doing so well. So they're hearing her voice, but they can't get it through to her. Yeah. Next, we get O'Brien's working in engineering, and he's putzing around, and he's there, listening to the call from the captain, Cusack, and this is where they end up getting through to her. They can actually hear her talk. They can like go back and forth pretty soon.
And O'Brien is like obsessed with talking to her.
Yes. Deep Space Nine, we go over to Quark's, and Quark throws out that, what do you have planned for Saturday? And he's like, what are you talking about? What happened Saturday? He says, that was a month, 1 month anniversary, your first date with Kira. Don't you want to like do something? He goes, don't be ridiculous. And like everyone's like, okay. your funeral buddy.
Like, yeah, it was Jake. Jake's like, oh yeah, I always do monthly anniversaries.
Just like he's dated so many gobble girls now. It's like, it's unbelievable.
I get him a fidget spinner.
Get a fidget spinner. So they decided they're going to, he kind of talks him into it and then says, you should go to the promenade and find something for Kira. So, and
gets well, he's more like, I'm not selling you anything. There are plenty of other shops. I'm busy.
Right. Exactly.
He's manipulating him to go away and fuck off.
Yeah. Get out of his face, basically. And this is where Jake says that he's trying to work on a crime novel, and his characters aren't believable doing illegal activities.
So he needs this to...
If only I had a succubus to suck out my life force, then I could write betterly.
Yeah. But Quark says... wants to
observe him.
Yeah, Quark's going to let him hang around him and find out what he's doing, but he can't tell Odo, can't tell his dad, basically. Can't blow him in, so...
Gee, Dad, I was following Quark around and nothing bad happened.
Nothing ever happened. It was all good. So, and yeah, so that's the plan there. And then, so, because Quark's got plans to do something illegal on Saturday night, so.
He does now.
Now he does. So, like I said, back on the Defiant, O'Brien's listening, and he finds out that, Yates come to him saying, you know, what's going on? Like, do people not like me on the ship or something?
I told them all to scorn you.
It's just so weird, because Cassidy is going to be treated like shit. It's like so uncharacteristic, because everyone's always been so nice to her before.
Ben knows she's going to betray them and go to the Orville.
Yeah, that's right. She is going to go to Orville.
She's later. A traitor.
30 years later, she will. She actually looks really good compared to, like, I mean, like, her on the Orville and now, like, you can't even tell the difference.
She doesn't look that different. It is insane.
She's aged, like, really, nothing. Really well.
Like, yeah, she only looks like 5 years older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's kind of crazy. Where I look like a withered old man. Anyways, so.
I haven't seen you in a long time, Aaron. I can't refute that yet.
Yeah.
Where are you, Aaron? I haven't seen you in so long.
Yeah, you won't even recognize me. I'll be like...
Kaylee cut my hair a couple last week.
Is that Gandalf the Grey? Hello. My walking stick. So during this thing, Sisko and Bashir are supposed to be talking to this Captain Lisa Kuzak, and she was the commanding officer of the USS Olympia. And they were on an exploration mission, and when they got caught in some energy barrier around this planet and got sucked in, and the ship crashed, and they had to abandon ship. So that's how she got stuck on there. So, and like I said before, it's a heavy carbon dioxide atmosphere. So she's taking these drugs so she can keep living. But they're afraid that they won't have enough time to get to her, because these drugs will only last so long, and there's ill effects from the drugs as well. So, she wants to talk to somebody. So Sisko first says that he'll talk to her, and she just like basically the conversations turn into like a confessional between everybody. So Sisko basically
Holy Mary, said, Mother of Grace.
So Sisko kind of talking about the war, and Kuzak's not really interested, and then he starts talking about Cassidy Yates.
He's flipping around his little like pad, and he gets two more pads and makes a giant fidget spinner because he's bored of talking about Cassidy.
He's like, I don't want to talk about Cassidy. And basically just saying that, you know, like it seemed like it felt weird for him to, for her to be posted on the same ship, and, you know, it didn't feel like the same.
I get nervous when she watches me work. It's like when she watches me jerk off, it's never the same.
I don't know. I got the feeling like I didn't like the conversation. Like I said, I just felt like it was written badly or poorly. You know, he didn't describe anything, and then she was like you don't like having her in your workspace. And he was like, you're so right. And it's just like, okay, so did he really feel that way? Or did she just kind of like guess and it planted it? It was just not done well.
No, it was I thought it was done fine. Like he did tense up way more talking about Cassidy than he did talking about the war. She
tensing up doesn't mean
she could tell the difference in his voice.
It doesn't matter what you can hear in the voice. It just, there was no build up. There was no explanation as to why he felt that way. There was no indication that he felt that way until.
Yeah, I gotta agree. With Holly here is like, is, you know, Cisco talks so placidly half the time. You can never tell what ruffles his feather and what doesn't until he starts yelling at somebody. And he's just like, he just said, you caught me off guard by that question or that comment or whatever she said when he bring up Cassidy. And he's just like, she started talking about, you know, like you said, kind of just threw out a wild guess of what the relationship, what was going on. I was like,
right.
Okay. Well, I mean, either she is right or he just agreed with her because he didn't want to like go into it more.
Or she implanted this thought that maybe that's what's wrong. Maybe that's what I'm feeling.
Yeah.
And he was just like all for it. And I'm just like, okay, nothing was built up here. So I didn't like it.
Yeah. The dynamics with this seemed odd to me for this episode. That's one of the things that turned me off about this episode too, was sort of just like, we're like, okay, so they're having an issue and it's not really spelled out. Just it's there. And it was never there before, from what I could tell. So,
right.
And then we're jump back to Quark's bar, and then you know Odo's showing Quark what he got, Kira, and then he says, "Oh, you're going to do a holosuite, right?" And he's like, "No, why would I do that?" And he's like, "You got to do something special on your night." And so I decide that
you can't just give it to her,
right? So. He's going to offer a holosuite program, so he's going to go. He goes up to go check out the holosuites and which program he's going to pick. And there, he talks about that Quark's got a plan to meet somebody up at these airlocks for some to get some illegal merchandise. So, and
merchandising spaceballs, the flamethrower, spaceballs, the toilet paper.
Exactly. And then Bashir is talking to. Captain Cusack now, and Bashir just doesn't seem to care. He's just like doing his work and his reports, and he's going through his medical files. When Cusack says, like, "Oh no, something's coming to me! Oh no!" and then she starts screaming, and then the next scene is Bashir is like, "Oh no, what happened?" Like, and then a voice is growling to Bashir, and he's like, "I've eaten her. What's the difference? You weren't really listening anyways." And Bashir is like, realized it was Captain Cusack just trying to get his attention. And then he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I should."
I feel like this is the only part of the conversations that happened between all of the characters that I actually liked.
It was at least entertaining.
Yeah. It was the only part that I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. Kind of funny. Kind of gave you an idea of her character.
Right.
But, I don't know. It was just...
She's also bored as hell and hasn't slept in 2 days. Or however many days it's been.
Yeah, exactly.
She's probably losing it.
And we get to see the cave she's in, and it doesn't look very comfortable.
The cave of oneness.
I don't know. I mean, it's definitely damp.
Very, very damp.
I think I could make a home there. I'm sure.
Holly's like, I could do it. a couple throw pillows, a little curtains.
Bead curtains, though, because you don't want cloth curtains in a damp place.
Yeah, that's right.
Unless you enjoy the musky smell that it'll exude.
What's that stink?
Elon Musk smell. Oh, look, there's his car floating by.
There's Tesla. Hello,
That'd
Tesla.
That'd be great if his car was just crashed on the planet next to the ship.
Fucking Elon Musk. Next, we jump over to Quark's again, and he's having a conversation with a Nausicaan. about his illegal merchandise purchase. Odo comes back and basically is choosing a program. Paris, back in the 1920s, which it seems weird because Kira is Bajoran, Odo's like a shapeshifter. Like, why would they even want to pick Paris?
Why go to
Earth? Yeah, it's odd.
Yeah.
They could go anywhere. And they didn't even show inside the holodeck. They could have been anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so he books it for Sunday night, though. And he said, oh, we had our first kiss. That was on Sunday. So that's when I'm going to celebrate. And
I feel like they picked Paris because Americans in the audience knows that's the romantic city. So he's taking her to a romantic place. He's not taking her to, like, Denny's Bar and Grill.
Denny's Bar and Grill. Here's some moons over my hammy. Bon appetit. I don't know.
That's the only reason I can think that they picked that, just so they know he's picking someplace romantic. I don't think it makes sense in the realm of the story. I think that's just like, it's a romantic place.
They could have picked something like, ooh, that's a romantic program. They could have just made that comment.
Yeah, probably. Like, one of the moons of Risa, one of the expensive ones. You know, like, instead of just Risa proper, like, a more fancy Risa place could have been fun, too. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so now Quark's in a panic because he's not going to do the hall suite on Saturday night. He's going to do it on Sunday. So, and he can't get the Noskin back because he changed his, like, you know...
He crushed his cell phone burner.
Yeah, he threw it out the window at the airlock. Yeah. So he's in a panic. Then we jump back to the Defiant, and O'Brien's talking to Captain Cusack, and he's kind of like talking more about like how he fought in the war and how he keeps his distance to people now because he's always worried that, you know, something bad's going to happen. And then they get into this whole thing, like, why he doesn't like the idea of a ship having a counselor. And he says, why not talk to your friends and wives about this feeling? And she's like, well, do you? He's like, no. He says, therefore, you need a ship counselor. So, but actually,
O'Brien's on Deanna Troi Hard.
I'm sorry?
I just said he's dissing on Deanna Troi Hard.
He said he doesn't dislike Deanna Troi. He just doesn't like the idea of a counselor.
Oh, yeah, I know. He's just dissing her profession.
I felt it was more of like a conversation as to he doesn't want to have to go to a therapist. He wants, and she also felt that you should be able to share the kind of things that they were sharing with friends, not necessarily needing to go to a therapist. And
this was
more about not being close with the people that he cares about rather than a dislike for.
Right.
Therapists.
I felt this was actually probably the most real conversation in the whole episode.
Oh, right, absolutely. Now. This was a good one for sure.
And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense. You know, he's been at war. You know, as we know, O'Brien's been through a lot of shit. So he's always definitely
breaks his wrist kayaking every single time.
Every single time you break your wrist. And so he feels sort of walled off, I guess, emotionally. So we jump over to Bashir. Bashir's to talk to Cusack at night and said he's all caught up in his work, so he won't be distracted. And because she's they have the injection is not helping her to help her breathe the atmosphere. And I guess she's growing weak now, so they're worried now that the CO2 effects are going to start really affecting her, so they have to find a way. And this is when they do decide that there's 2 days and they have to get Defiant there as fast as possible. So they decide to drain their phaser reserves to get to warp 9.5 to get there faster.
Worf was like, no, we can't do that. What if we need to shoot somebody?
Yeah. Yeah, Worf's like, I might need to shoot somebody. I don't know.
Throw your Batleth at the Morph.
and then there's an interaction between Sisko and Yates. Sisko's still acting like a dick. So, there you go. And then they talk more about, Sisko talks more with Kuzak about his problems with Yates as part of his, because he's part of his personal life and then his professional life, and he doesn't like mixing them up. So, you know, I guess that's somewhat understandable, but, you know, this is like a one-off, so it's like, can't you just, like, deal with it? Well, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it was really weird. I mean, I agree. It's probably the most unnatural part of the episode where, like, they're at odds with each other. But there might be a reason for that, which we'll get into afterwards.
So, and then Deep Space Nine, Quark's talking to Jake about these crystals that he's going to sell on Saturday. He's going to make a lot of latinum, but now he won't because he's going to go to jail.
And they're in, like, the storage, and they're, like, they think they're alone, and he's, like, telling him everything.
And he's like, you know, if it wasn't for me, Odo should show some gratitude because I, you know, I kind of basically helped him, you know, to get together with Kira. And now I'm just going to go to prison, you know, and like, okay. So, but we find out that
Odo's been the container the entire time.
Odo was the container. So,
well, not the container, a container.
There's lots of containers.
Yeah.
So he kind of like sees him walk away, and he's kind of feeling like, oh, am I been a giant dick this whole time?
Right, right.
For six seasons, yes, Odo, you've been a giant dick to Quark. Thank you for now noticing that.
So then we get to Odo and Kira are going to go to the...
they walk into the bar all dressed up a day early.
Yeah, go to on Saturday night instead of Sunday. So, and he's like, you know, I talked to Kira and she, you know, that's what she wants to do. So we're going to do that. Like,
can you get me the holodeck program?
Yeah.
Please.
And then there's a quick exchange between Kira and Odo about, like,
he told what, her that.
Yeah, like with that.
Everything. And
that Quark kind of has got this thing devised. And he's like, I'm going to let this one go. Also seems a little uncharacteristic of Odo. I know Odo does have a soft spot buried deep under his gruff exterior, but still seems a little uncharacteristic of him.
He is so thankful for hooking up with Kira that he's going to let...
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Quark do crime.
That's exactly what
Kira,
I was
going to say. Kira loves him one way or the other. It doesn't have anything to do with Quark. So, and she probably would like to see Quark on a, you know, a pyre fire on fire, so...
I think Quark always liked, I mean, I think Odo always liked Quark for even for all the crap he gave him all the time. I think they were always kind of like, they were adversaries, but they liked each other. They wouldn't be happy without each other, I think, or as happy. Because Odo enjoyed the chase and Quark enjoyed the
being chased
and just getting by.
Yeah. Then we jump back to the Defiant. They get to the planet where Captain Kuzak's there, and they want to go down to the planet, but apparently this energy barrier, the energy barrier that's around the planet is got some huge effect with radiation that could basically destroy their dilithium matrix, and it will like make the ship will be dragged into the planet and be destroyed. So they can't do that. So and transporters won't work, so they have to take a shuttle pod down.
I forgot they had shuttle pods. It looks like a way cooler version of Enterprise's shuttle pods. I was like, wow, that's really cool. I forgot.
I know, because you're so used to the run. So used to the runabouts.
Yeah. I was like, oh, good for you, Enterprise. You made an old version of this. That's great.
So I guess it's still risky to go down, but it's a little bit less riskier than anything else, so they decide to do that. so they take that down to the planet. They don't see any life signs. And
but they navigate to the cave and the
right
somehow.
And they get there, and they find that she has been dead for quite some time. Maybe yes. 2 to 3 years, yeah. So, how is this possible that they were talking to her, and apparently this energy field was somehow, this is where you get, like, science gobbledygook, like, magically wave it away, but, like, their calls to her were, like, being sent to the past.
Her calls out were getting... going through the field around the planet, and it was transmitting her message to the past or to the future. And the reason why they couldn't communicate with her was because it was from the past. And O'Brien finally somehow got it to go to the past. Well, got it to the right place, but it went through the barrier and went to the past.
Yeah. So.
And they could talk to her. But you're right. Yeah.
It wasn't radiation very well explained. Is magic.
Magic radiation.
It's still more believable than the magic wand in Picard.
Just like the radiation that hit Bruce Banner.
Yes.
It either sends you...
I mean, it was a pretty thick coating that they had to go through. So, I mean, it's so not thick. Like an ozone layer that's just like a, oh, that was the ozone layer? No, it was like a, the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like 3 C's thick.
3 C's thick. So they decide Sisko doesn't want to bury her on the planet, so they're going to take her back home, so be amongst friends.
Right.
So Defiant comes back, and they're having a wake for her, an Irish wake, and they're all talking and hanging around, and they're just talking about how they knew her and how her effects on them. And O'Brien has this like kind of like, I guess you could call it a come to Jesus moment, where he tells everyone that, you know, like how she made her, how he made him feel, and how he wants to tell everyone that I don't want to, you know, not tell you how I feel now that you're all alive with me. And, you know, that's kind of the thing is like, you know, I don't want to like how to take you for granted, I guess is the best thing to put it. And they all raise
explains it to him. John Z explains what an Irish wake is to Worf, and Worf's like, it's almost Klingon.
It's almost Klingon, except more less headbutting.
Less screaming.
Less screaming. So and they all raise a toast and drink to Lisa, so it's the end of the episode. Well guys, what do we want to say about this episode? Dave, why don't you go first, since you liked this episode.
I thought it was good. I mean, it's a nice breath of fresh air after a Picard episode that season that pretty much went nowhere. I mean, this episode kind of went nowhere too, but the character interactions were great. I felt something. I felt sad, especially like I said at the beginning, that toast that O'Brien made to he's like, what if we're standing around this room in a year and some of our friends aren't there anymore? And it's like, fuck you, you're killing Jen Sia next episode, assholes.
I didn't realize she was dying in the next episode. I forgot about that. So I didn't put that together. Ruined and they did pan right impact to her face at one point, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they knew she hadn't renewed her contract, and you know they were filming the next episode at the time, I'm sure, whatever, however their schedule worked. So, I mean, you know, they knew she was gone. Mm-hmm. And it was good. I mean, like, you know, it did have its faults. It was really weird the way it was written. I do agree with the how weird the thing came up between Ben and Cassidy. What's interesting about this episode is that it was the original idea was that they were supposed to have Sisko playing around with a subspace radio and accidentally picking up a 1940s transmission, and they develop a relationship through the radio, and then they fall in love. It was a sweet, interesting story, Ronald D. Moore said, but none of us could quite handle how to make it work since Sisko was already involved with Cassidy. So it seems like they kept part of that in the story, and then they just forgot, and then that's why they had the friction between Cassidy. It just like came out of nowhere.
It seemed like, you know, O'Brien was obsessed with her voice, and the doctor really wasn't, but then Sisko was like immediately drawn to the idea of talking to this woman and opening up about his feelings, but he couldn't do it with somebody else. So it was like, you know, the episode was called The Sound of Her Voice, and it was just like, okay, is this something nefarious? Like, what is this? Why is he acting so candidly with this random person he'd never met, but he can't talk to the person that he supposedly loves? It was just very uncomfortable, and it was forced, and it was not done well.
I do get the thing that sometimes if you can talk to somebody who you don't have any connection to, sometimes you can let loose on certain things you would normally tell somebody. I get that logic, but the thing that got me about this episode was just that it starts off with such a weird relationship dynamic between Sisko and Cassidy, which was never there. You know, Sisko's always very like, you know, let's do something, let's have some fun. You know, he gets all excited when she's around, and this time he's sort of like, yeah, okay, you know, like, right.
If he had started acting like that after she called him on his shit while they were eating, like, then I could have seen that. But he was grumpy before that.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
Yeah, it did totally come out of nowhere, and that was probably the most awkward thing about it. But I thought the episode was pretty good and enjoyable other than that. I mean, it was pretty Star Trek-y, and yeah, there was some science gobbledygook at the end. But, you know, they always have to, like, make some reason why something happens, and it's sad and tragic. The woman who played Cusack...
You mean that old, decrepit mummy?
No, the lady who played her voice, Deborah Wilson, they didn't let her meet the regular cast until after they'd finished filming.
It's kind of a cool idea.
I mean, that must have been really cool for the main cast, because like they couldn't meet them and see the person, so they had to like act with her just through voice audio. I'm sure her stuff was recorded ahead of time, or maybe they just piped her voice in to the sets, or I don't know how they did it, but it's really interesting that they kind of did it that way, and then she got to meet them after all the principal photography was done. Terry Farrell did let them know she was leaving, so the dialogue at the end was intentionally written for a departure. I'm just reading off of Memory Alpha. It's good. I don't know. I thought it was a pretty decent episode. I mean, it's definitely not... I don't know why this was listed as one of the best episodes, because I definitely wouldn't say this is one of the best. I would say the last episode we covered, Brain Pain, was way better episode.
Oh, yeah. With Garrick, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Garrick episode...
The Wire. It wasn't called Brain Pain.
Yeah. We said Brain Pain. I couldn't remember the name off the top of my head, so I was like, oh, it's the Brain Pain episode. That was a much better episode in terms of plot, character development, and things making a sense. This one was definitely like a weird one-off for season six. It's like they had, it was just a weird bottle episode basically, except they had like their generic, you know, cave sets with water, but other than that, it's just on the Defiant and just on DS9. So this must have been like one of those money-saving episodes where they didn't really do much,
right? Well, I kind of liked how the episode was titled about a person, but then the actual meat of the episode wasn't about that person. It was about the people who met her. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting, but I wasn't interested in those dialogues. I didn't find it compelling.
I thought the Brian dialogue was the most compelling.
It was intriguing because he was so invested in it. Mm-hmm. And he was like very honest and open, and it was like, okay, this is weird. But like I said, like for some reason, I was like, okay, but what does the sound of her voice have to do with anything? And it doesn't end up having to do with anything. But
this has nothing to do with anything.
Her personality was what brought them together and what opened their eyes to things. It wasn't the sound of her voice that did anything. So I guess I got hung up on that. But, you know, what I liked about the episode was, you know, I did like the Quark sideline.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the inside, the inner crap with all the banter, the small talk, the blah, blah, blah. I actually really just enjoyed the ending with what David said was the science-y gobbledygook. I really enjoyed that it was like, oh, she's dead, and it was like a weird time warp conversation, and we all got to know this person, but she was already dead, but she was alive when she had the conversation. So that was what I liked about the episode. And obviously the wake at the end was beautiful, but
it's a gut punch. Like they've been talking to this person and trying to save her, and then she's been dead for years. Like that just like, I'm getting chills right now, like thinking about how horrifying that is. You think people are going to come save you, and you're dead for years before they actually find you.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, even if they had gotten there when they had, they may have still saved her if she was alive. She would have been sleeping. And when you have, what's it called? When you have lack of oxygen to the brain, hypoxia, you kind of lose your shit anyway. You don't know what's going on. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, obviously her body, she probably very well did suffocate, but she may not have even realized it was happening.
Usually you don't. You're still breathing, so you just don't realize because your lungs aren't, like, starved of oxygen. You just, I mean, they are starved of oxygen, but you still feel the pressure. You don't feel like you're suffocating. You just, all of a sudden, your brain starts shutting down, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it sucks that she died and that her rescuers never came. But it was just so weird, like, even that word, rescuers, your heroes are coming. Where the fuck did that come from? Like, just like, what made him decide to say that? It was like he decided, I heard that voice. You know, the sound of her voice made me want to flirt with this stranger.
Oh, you think he was having, like, kind of like getting a little too flirty?
I think he was way too invested in this weird relationship that he had put together. And they probably wrote it to be a weird little love interest. But like Dave said, you know, they had to change what they wanted to do.
Why wouldn't they just change it from Sisko talking to some woman in the 1940s to like Bashir or somebody, you know?
Yeah, the single one.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know? It was just, I don't know. So that's what I liked and didn't like. I can't appreciate what they did with the episode, but while I was watching it, I wasn't into all of the small talk. And I say small talk, it was really supposed to be like in-depth
confessionals,
meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
It just didn't feel like that to me. Except, I mean, the doctor, their conversations, it was interesting. I did have this thought, though. Why was she the one doing the majority of the talking when she's lacking oxygen?
Yeah, I know. She just kept on yammering away.
Yeah. They should have been like, conserve your oxygen. Just listen. We'll talk to you.
Well, it's not her oxygen. There's very little oxygen on the planet. The medicine's just making it tolerable for her to live in that environment. Like, it's not like she's in a space capsule where she's got, like, a limited supply of oxygen. The oxygen supply is limited for the entire planet. She's not going to run through it. It's just so thin. The drug just makes it work, I guess.
Well, then she still should have not been breathing it in so rapidly when she's just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. Talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. I agree.
I mean, it's not a deal breaker for me. Although I do think the B story is actually more compelling than the A story because I love Odo and Quark, and that was fun. And you know, seeing the soft spot that Odo has for Kira kind of flowed over into Quark a little bit, and letting him have fun with his crime and not busting him was really great. And seeing that relationship like kind of finally like have an apex in a very different way after six seasons is kind of great. And Jake, I didn't hate Jake this episode. He was just kind of like.
Well, they didn't say much.
Yeah, Jake's better as an accomplice. You know.
Yeah, like, yeah. He's better as a side character doing something else with somebody else than like the focus.
Yeah. This episode did little to zero for me, and I had high hopes because I remembered it, but I didn't like. Distinctly remember. I just remember something about the plot of like a woman being on a planet and she'd been dead for years and they've been talking to her dead person. I just was like, it didn't do anything for me. You know? Yeah. Why? What were you thinking?
I was just going to say, it kind of goes back to the Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, I know. I thought about digital
ghosts. Did you?
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I said that, but I mean, it did little for me. I mean, in the conversations besides O'Brien's was a little like, you know, there's no real emotion. I mean, the rift between Cassidy and Sisko seemed kind of contrived because I never seen it before. I don't know. And, I mean, it would have been nice to see Bashir saying like, everyone thinks I'm so awesome, but actually, I'm just really frightened most of the time. You know, it'd be funny for him to say something like that, or I don't know, whatever, you know. And it was at least interesting that O'Brien was talking about how he felt. And we kind of get that feeling with O'Brien anyways. He's always kind of like walled off and he doesn't show his emotions because he's been through so much shit. And I kind of felt like maybe they could have done better writing on that. It was interesting take on how she died. I still think it's kind of a weird thing how the signals got trapped and went through time because of this planet's radiation, you know, barrier around it.
Or whatever.
And the Quark thing was mildly interesting. I didn't do a lot for me. I know Dave really loves the Quark and Odo interactions, but other than their acting, the story didn't do a lot for me. So I'll give this like a C at best. I didn't love it. And it's funny because we were looking up, let's do a really cool Deep Space Nine episode. And we were like, what's the best Deep Space Nine episode? This one came up and I was like, I remember it, but I don't remember it. And after watching, I was like, it's like not that fantastic.
Yeah, I think the fantastic part about it is just that it's like the way that they were able to lead you to one conclusion, and then you, at the end, you were like, I did not see that coming. Yeah. That's probably why it is a good episode.
And, I mean, maybe the saving grace is the last little, like, toast that O'Brien gives with everybody during the wake. That makes a little sense to me. That's a little more, you know, meaningful than everything else. Especially now that you pointed out, Dave, that was last time we see Jadzia Dax.
It's not the last time. She dies in the next episode.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah. But it's like, yeah, this is it. So, I don't know.
I got a little bit of a twinge of emotion whenever, like, you know, I knew she, because I knew the episode, I knew she was dead, and they're doing all those things. Like, it kind of made me sad, and, like, they're all becoming super attached to her. And because I like the characters of Deep Space Nine, I care about them, it makes me sad that they're going to be really sad when this happens, and then the toast that, you know this room's not going to look the same in a year. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not going to look the same in a year. And so that really hit me kind of hard. And so I was like, but you know, it's because you know what's coming. Or I knew it was coming. And so I was like, that kind of hurt. So I mean, like, maybe I wouldn't have liked the episode if I didn't remember that too. Yeah. I mean, I'd probably give like a B minus. I mean, like, you know, like high C plus. I mean, it's not like a stellar episode, but it's by no means a stinker. It's pretty middle of the road. I mean, it's well acted, and the B story is pretty good, because, I mean, a lot of times B stories are just like the worst, but the B story was at least as good, if not better, than the A story for me.
Yeah, that's always bad when the B story is not as good as the A story.
It just wasn't, you know, the multiple conversations, it wasn't as captivating as, like...
Yeah, I think this could have been a great way to show more of the character's like inner psyche.
You know, I want to see Worf's conversation with her. Well, I drink blood wine. My girlfriend's a Trill. She has spots, and she talks about being like a dude, and it's kind of weird for me. I was raised by humans, and they gave me an extreme circumcision because they thought I shouldn't have two penises.
No, but I mean, it should have been like at least, I don't know. I should have been a little more, the confessional should have said more about the characters, and I just didn't feel it with anybody. And like I said,
I agree. They could have turned it up to 10 on, like, you know, having these people just pour out their hearts and souls. And they kind of gave it like a 4. Ryan poured out a little bit more than everyone else, but I definitely agree with you. They could have had major character parts come out. Maybe some in-between episode stuff that we just didn't hear about. It could have come out and, like, just filled in a lot of like what they're feeling and stuff with the war. They could have done a really deep dive and they didn't, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I don't know. It's not terrible. It just wasn't what I expected. Middle I was really hoping on something to be really like really blow me away, and it didn't do that for me. So anything else we want to talk about before we wrap this one up?
I think I pretty much said what I wanted to say.
We've said what we wanted to say.
you know those moments in life where you think you said everything you wanted to say, and then 3 days later you're like, oh, motherfucker, I could have said
that. Oh, that happens to me so often on this podcast. so many times.
Yeah. That'll probably happen, but I think I'm good.
So next week, the plan tentatively is talking Battle Angel Alita. We're going to jump off of Star Trek for a bit, since we're not having to talk about it every single week because of Picard. We're going to give that a try.
Okay.
That'll be fun.
Possibly two guests, maybe just one. We're going to see how that works out.
Two guests?
Yes.
Maybe.
It'll be like five people.
It's going to be an orgy.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe not.
Well, I may or may not be here anyway, so we'll figure that out.
No. We need you to be here, since it's your movie we're watching.
I do really like
it. So depending on if Holly can be here next week, we may or may not be doing Battle Angel.
We can make it happen. We'll figure it out.
It's coming. Whether it's next week or not, it's coming.
Well, guys, if it happens or not, don't worry. Next week we will be here. As always, you can find us. As always, you can find us at Synthaholics.com. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com. Please go to our Facebook page, our groups, Facebook.com/groups Synthaholics, and
please
you can
do.
Join us group there. You can talk to us.
Yeah, we're gonna talk to you guys here soon about another project. So
I had a job
get over there.
Get on the Facebook.
It'll be interesting, and hopefully it'll be exciting for everybody.
Listen to the sound
as well. It's as well as you can find us on Twitter at Synthaholics Duo. You can join us there, and we have our Instagram page is Synthaholics.podcast. You can find us, and we shoot Instagram pictures once in a while and say hi. And if the show is valuable to you, please go to our Patreon.com/Synthaholics, and you can throw us some money that way. That's appreciated. And obviously, you can support the show by sharing it with your friends or on social media. It's a great way to help the show for free without giving us money. So, and we appreciate that greatly as well. All right. So next week, Battle Angel Alita, or maybe something else.
Alita.
We'll be talking about something next week.
Guaranteed. There will be a show, and we will be talking about something. All right. Until then, live long and prosper, one and all.
Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I
ever had.
Oh, no, we won't talk to anybody. Man,
don't listen to the sound of her voice.
Shut up. We aren't talking to you people. We're just us three. That's it.
Don't be brutal to them, Holly. It's not nice.
No, it's a very serious time, okay? Live long, live healthy. Don't be dicks. Wash your
hands. Don't be dicks
hands.
And prosper.
Don't wash be dicks hands. And prosper. Yeah, that's right.
Spock
wash your hands and prosper.
A dick tattoo on his hand with one of those Ghostbuster crosses on it. Cross out no dick. Don't be dick.
And it keeps washing and it won't come off.
No, it won't come off. Damn it. Dick busters.
Oh, boy. That's what I like to call punching people in the face.
Oh, man. So if we don't do Battle Angel Alita next week, what should we do? Holly, where are you running off to?
It's not that I'm running off anywhere. I was just talking to a neighbor, and, you know, with all the social distancing, my neighbor's trying to plan when the kids go to sleep, we're going to sit in her front yard at night, 6 feet apart, drink wine and socialize. And she was like, well, do you want to do Friday? And I'm like, well, I fucking work Friday. And she's like, do you want to do Sunday? And I was like, well, I fucking work Sunday. And she's like, well, let me know what works for you. And I'm like, I mean... maybe Friday. So, and I wasn't sure if you were going to do comic. I wasn't sure if, you know, we were talking before the show, and I wasn't sure if you were going to do comic next week. So I was like, well, maybe. And
Well, the original idea was to do Battle Angel Alita this week, but we weren't sure if you were going to fill up the recording this week. So I was like, yeah, let's push it back to next week.
Oh, I gotcha. I see. No, I mean, I'm down sure to how you do were feeling. It. I feel good. I feel fine. It's not an issue with that at all. So, I mean, and it doesn't have, I don't have to get together with her this week. It can be next week. It's not a big deal.
You feel fine? Are you saying you don't want to get on the cart?
I'm not getting on. I'm not dead.
I'm not dead yet. I don't want to get on the cart.
I'm not dead yet.
I think I'll go for a walk. Oh, man.
Not fooling anyone.
Wow. that scene is kind of apt for a plague. I mean, a pandemic.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Absolutely.
Maybe we should talk about Mighty Python, the Holy Grail.
How are y'all?
Oh, no.
How are you guys doing with the COVID-19? Are you social distancing? Are you guys going anywhere?
Oh, yeah. I kiss everyone I see on the street just to make sure it spreads as far as possible. No.
Too soon.
No, I'm social distancing. I wear a mask when I go into a store. I don't want to wear one when I walk on the streets, but I do when I go into a store.
Yeah. Is it mandatory there in New York?
Yes.
Yeah, I work.
As of 3 days ago, yeah, I think it was became mandatory.
Gotcha. What about you, Aaron?
Just, it's you know, we've been walled up here for, 4 weeks? I can't remember now. And, it's all right. I'm the one who runs out and does most of the, like, they're handling as best they possibly can, if you can think. I mean, we had some nice days where it was in the 60s, and then it just became, you know, like,
it's miserable
shitty.
Again. It's supposed to rain all
day. It snowed.
Yeah. It snowed today. 2 days ago, we had
it was beautiful, and I'm jealous. But yeah, sorry about that.
And then it started raining today. Yeah. And it's supposed to rain pretty much most the rest of the week. Do you have anything you want to cover tonight? Anything? I didn't see anything super pertinent, other than.
Sorry, I walked away for a second.
Other than the random Star Trek, maybe Discovery movie, but I don't even know like if that's rumors like has any merit to it or not.
So, remember, this show's coming out in 2 weeks, not 1 week.
Oh, yeah, we probably shouldn't talk about any news.
I mean, we can't talk about it because that's pure rumor.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to talk about. There's still no... Only thing they talked about with Discovery, I think they did release some of the names of... the episodes, and one of them's called Unification 3. Oh, my God. They're trying to talk to the Romulans again.
Come on, guys. Can we work it out? Hey, so I got that comic from Jason Youngbluth, the Kobayashi Maru.
Yep.
So I got to drop that off with you at some point.
Okay.
He said he'd come on and do. He just wants to promote his book, but he's been a local artist for years, and he's really good, and he's done a lot of work. So, I don't know. He's pretty funny. He's kind of actually off the wall more than anything.
That's probably a good idea to do a couple of comic book, or at least an episode about comic books, because. Comic books are pretty hot in the news right now about the industry failing because of the COVID situation.
Mm-hmm.
So comic books are a hot topic right now.
That's a good point. And Comic-Con was canceled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every single Comic-Con for the rest of the year will likely be canceled, and many next year. I mean,
go ahead.
I was just saying mass events like Comic-Cons, concerts, and sporting events will probably be the last thing to open back up.
Yeah.
Just because of the number of people that have to go to them.
The San Diego Civic Center is closed and housing homeless right now, so.
Oh, Jesus. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's another reason.
Mm-hmm. It's like, what's it called? Hurricane Katrina, when they're putting all the people in that the dome in New Orleans.
Yeah, the Superdome. Uh-oh. Yeah, we had refugee, like, homeless-ish people hanging around my college in Lake Charles.
People, they're like, get out of here, you squatters.
Well, we had like.
Was your home underwater?
Yeah, go swim with Aquaman.
I almost spit my coffee. Absolutely insensitive.
Yeah, I know. I lived in Louisiana at the time. It was crazy times, Katrina and Rita.
Did you live during Katrina?
Yes, I did. I was in school in Lake Charles, which is a couple hours west of New Orleans, and they brought in people. Our school like got double slammed with students because all the students from New Orleans get put into all the different colleges here. So our classrooms were double filled, and they were trying to do school. And like we had, like I said, we had homeless. I think we had some homeless people hanging around the school grounds just because. And we had like armed people wandering too because of all the influx of people and just trying to escape from Katrina. And then all those people got evacuated. So it was like our school was at double capacity for like 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. Maybe 3 weeks, and they all got evacuated because Rita was coming. And then, like, 2 days before it hits landfall, or a day before it hits landfall, it's like, okay, mandatory evacuation. Everyone has to leave now.
Right.
So it was like, how come you didn't tell us to evacuate yet? So they just evacuated the evacuees, and they evacuated the rest of us.
I was working as a graphic designer for this company, and they were doing promo for salespeople. For Xerox salespeople to sell like Xerox printers and stuff like that. And there was a big conference that was going on down in Baton Rouge. And I was setting up all these promos, and then everything happened. And they were still going to press with things and setting things up for like, you know, like the websites and everything. And I go to my boss, I go, is this still a thing? I mean, like, people are like, you know, swimming away.
Swimming ship.
Yeah, and they're like, oh yeah, and then they like made a couple calls, and then they were just like, they're like, yeah, I guess so. We're not going to do that now. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Thanks for letting me do all that work for like.
Yeah.